This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Junkies.
Coming up Friday morning on the Junkies, we'll recap game one of Capitals Blue Jackets, hopefully talking about a big Caps win. Kevin McCarthy joins us at 7 a.m. He'll give us his review of Rampage, the new Dwayne Johnson movie. And John Feinstein joins us at 8 a.m.
The Sports Junkies. Weekday mornings from 5 to 10 on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
DominionJewelers.com. What's up, Rooster?
Cakes, welcome back from, I guess you've been back for a couple of days, but welcome back, boys. Good morning.
All he's been doing, Chris, is he's just been going to MGM and just felting all the old people over there.
I see all of his Twitter pics. I'm jealous. I'm envious. I mean, you know, it's good to be Cakes.
He's just rich. He's a rich man.
We're going to go down this highway
and
with Chris Russell.
I get so jealous and bitter of him.
I mean, last time I checked, we all make the same salary here. Yeah, unless you have some sort of side deal that I'm unaware of.
No, you're sitting on a big pile, though. You live in that nubby little house and only. It's paid off for you.
We don't make the same amount of money because you make more because you go to MGM and you make money at MGM.
He's jealous of your poker prowess.
Maybe you should try to become their blackjack ambassador.
Yeah, because
there's an opportunity there.
Because blackjack's a winning game.
Just letting you know that opportunity is there for you.
All right, so Chris.
We know when they get legal sports betting eventually down the line.
I'll be the ambassador. Yeah, another,
exactly. Another reason why.
We know who's not being the ambassador. He's going to be the CEO.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, so Chris, you've been covering the Caps here for us, particularly during the playoffs.
Right.
Basic question. Why don't you give us kind of the mood of the team? Mm-hmm. They know all of the playoff disappointment.
Sure.
They know how sort of jaded the fans are. They exceeded expectations in the regular season. Because of that, do they look like a confident bunch, or are they just kind of weary of all this?
Yeah, so I don't want to pretend like I've been with them all year because I haven't, but I watch all their games, of course, and I follow all the storylines, but I've been at Kettler the last 3 days. I'll be, of course, at the games 1 and 2, covering it for the station. So, you know, you just get a little feel, right, based on talking to the guys in the locker room and Trotz. They all seem weirdly relaxed. Like, I think without the piano on their back of the President's Trophy, number one seed, expected to walk right through. I mean, most people are picking Columbus in this series. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. All the percentages and all the experts, the media experts are picking Columbus. The Corsi percentages are all over the place. Columbus. I think they're feeling like, hey, you know what? We surprised people. We won the division. We are, you know, we have home ice, of course. We got better as the season went along. We've injected youth. We overcame all the free agent defections, the cap issues. Ovechkin's back. We have our goaltender that we want. Barry Trotz said it the other day. He goes, pressure? I'm not feeling any pressure. I mean, this is a guy who could get fired in less than a week and a half if they lose this series or not renewed on his contract. And we all know about the past playoff history, as everybody knows. I think they're pretty loose, surprisingly. They've been tight in years before. You can sense that being around them. Maybe it'll change as the series goes along if they're down 1-0, 2-0, heading to Columbus, but I think they're pretty loose.
Chris, we had Greg Wyshynski on the show yesterday, and he basically said that he thinks that Trotz will be let go anything short of a Stanley Cup final. Because I said that Trotz, if he loses to the Blue Jackets, that seals his fate.
Yeah.
It's a lock. He gets, you know, he doesn't get his contract renewed. But Wyshynski took it a step further, saying It's Stanley Cup finals or bust for Barry Trotz. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would disagree with that. I think they need to get past the second round, though. Like Dusty Baker and the Nats needed to get past the first round, or he would, you know, and I kept telling people that last year, and everybody said, kept saying I was crazy. Ultimately, that's what happened. I think Barry does need, and the Caps do need to get past the second round. So it's not only Columbus, it's the winner of Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, which, you know, as we know, Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell put up a touchdown win in game one last night against Philadelphia. So it'll probably be their demons, Pittsburgh, quite honestly, again in the second round. Again, they would have home ice advantage, and, you know, you just can't lose a game seven at home again. So ultimately, I think as long as they get to the conference finals, that keeps Barry around. I think anything short of that, probably. I don't know any inside information, but probably you have to almost look at a different direction. Remember, they extended the general manager, Brian McClellan, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, roughly. They did not, of course, extend Barry Trotz. Yesterday we asked him, he said, look, he's like, you asked that question to the GM, the ownership, I don't care, I'm not worried about it. And I think by going with Grubauer, guys, I don't know if you agree, I think by going with Grubauer, he's saying, look, I'm not feeling any pressure, I don't care, I'm going with what my gut instinct tells me, what my eyes and my hockey acumen tells me, and I'm not worried about, oh, if it doesn't work out and if it backfires, I'm going to look really bad. He doesn't care about that stuff, I don't think.
Yeah, well, good for him. And you know, we're rooting for him, so I really want to see him pull through.
Yeah.
I hope he can. He's such a nice guy.
So, oh, he is. He's a great guy.
He's so easy to root for.
Just a great guy. And, you know, I mean, I have a little special connection with him because we both have kids with Down syndrome. So, you know, I mean, I'm rooting like hell for the guy.
Right.
You know, of course. I mean, and you guys have him on every week. I mean, you guys know, you know, he's not only a good guy, but he's a noble guy. He's a... You know, now, that being said, I love the decision to go to Grubauer.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I want to see them do in this series, and I don't know if people are talking about this enough. They were last in shots on goal per game in the NHL regular season, and that was pretty consistent. I mean, it's not like they went from 15th to worst as the season. They've been last for a long time. They preach quality shots over quantity. I got that. I understand that when you have high-end skill players, when the third and fourth lines, and even at times when the second line are on, when power play two unit is on, meaning Noah Ovechkin and other guys are on, you have to fire the puck, especially in the playoffs. You've got to get traffic in front of the net because so many teams score on little loose rebounds, cheap deflections. You saw Vegas last night. The one and only goal they scored was a double deflection from the point. Shoot the damn puck. They don't shoot it enough, in my opinion.
How did Holtby respond? Like, I'm assuming he was a pro's pro. He's totally supportive of Grubby and everything. And then did you get a sense from the guys that they felt like this was the right decision, but they also probably didn't give you anything either. But did you get any sense?
Yeah, I mean, Holtby, you know, as Joe B told you guys last hour, Holtby handled it with class, professionalism. You know, he talked to the media, was brief on Tuesday after Grubauer actually told us the decision. I don't know if he was supposed to do that or not. You know, so that was a little bit of a surprise. I thought, you know, that decision would come from either Trotz or not come at, you know, until yesterday or maybe even the game day skate this morning. So whatever. Holtby handled it with class, dignity, professionalism. He knows, and Trotz emphasized this, it's a game one decision. It's not a, hey, this is never going to change. Now, of course, Grubauer, if he plays well, even if they lose tonight 2-1, 3-2, I think Grubauer will be back in the net game two. I don't think this is a one-game decision unless it's a, you know, again, a 6-7-goal performance by Columbus, that type of thing. As far as how the guys took it, you know, nobody's going to call out, you know, and say this is the best decision, Grubauer over Holtby, but I don't think anybody has a problem with it. I think hockey players understand, you know, Holtby has struggled for much of the year, although he got it together late March, a couple of starts in April, but Grubauer has been the guy that they seem to have the most confidence in and gives them the best shot, especially against Columbus. We mentioned the shots on goal. Columbus is fifth in the NHL in shots on goal per game, almost 35 per game. They fire a lot of pucks. Holtby has struggled, especially early in playoff games. The last couple of years, they've been down 1-0, 2-0, having a comeback. I think they have all the confidence in the world in Grubauer.
Chris, and you know this about this team. This is what scares me about them. Now, they're better than Columbus. I think everyone can agree. But they were better than Toronto last year. They were better than the Flyers the year before. And they were better than the Islanders in 14-15.
Right.
They just make it interesting. They allow teams to stay in it. They can't win it 4-1. It's got to go 4, you know, 6 games, 7 games. Because And that just scares people. It just does. Even though they're better, you know, on paper than these teams, those other teams I just mentioned really kept it close. That's what scares me about this. And Columbus is good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Now, I mean, the NHL playoffs are hard.
I know.
Are no cakewalks necessarily, but to your point, the only year that they made it quote-unquote easy on themselves was, what, 2011 against the Rangers, Tortorella, coach team, five-game win in that series. Now, they had no offensive talent in that particular series. This is a very, very different coached Tortorella or Tortorella coach team, I should say, with Artemi Panarin and great defensemen, Seth Jones, guys like that, Popeye's kid. I mean, they are pretty good. So this is a very different team than a typical John Tortorella, heavy, physical, grinding, defensive first type team. They can play defense, and they've got a great goaltender who has sucked in the playoffs. So that's the, I guess, the hope here for the Capitals. That being said, they need to your point, they need to – I don't think it's going to happen. I think they, you know, they need to not be down 1-0 3 minutes in tonight. And I think that was part of the decision process with Barry. If you go back and look at a bunch of the games over the last couple of years, they're giving up goals early. And then all of a sudden, the anvil of expectations and the energy goes out of the building. And then you're constantly on the climb up the stairs. And you just run out of gas eventually because you're constantly trying to come back and claw back and scratch back. And even though they're talented, that's really hard to do on a consistent basis. So I think it's a really bad sign if they're down 1-0, of course 2-0, you know, 6, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it is into tonight's game. I think it's a good sign if they score first, of course, but if again they keep that kind of confidence and that mental.
Are you worried about this game tonight?
Yeah, I am. I'm less worried about it because of Grubauer. I'm more confident that they went with the decision with Grubauer. I think they ultimately win this series in 7. I don't think it's going to be easy, unfortunately. But I think the difference will be Grubauer over Holtby, and I hate saying that, but I do believe that. And Columbus's power play and penalty kill, both mid-20s in terms of NHL rankings. So the Caps, we all know, very good on the power play, especially when they're able to set up Ovechkin in his office, you know, in the faceoff circle on the left side. If ultimately, I think that's the difference. And, you know, worry a little bit about no Jay Beagle tonight, maybe for game 2. I've been out there all week. He, you know, as Joe B said, he didn't look great. He's working individually. Maybe he comes back for game 2 with the extra day off. I am a little bit worried about that, but I think TJ Oshie is going to be huge for this team down the stretch. Or in the playoffs, I should say, down the stretch, he was really, really good. And I think some of the other young guys, the speed and some of the youth that this team has is going to pay dividends against a heavier defensive-oriented team.
That's Chris Russell. He's our Caps insider for the playoffs. Thanks for the time. He's brought to you by Dominion Jewelers. We'll talk to you again soon, Chris.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you, buddy.
And you can follow him on Twitter at RussellMania621. For all the latest on the Caps Blue Jacket series. Coming up next, we will talk some Wizards
Hoops!
Raptors with Chris Miller, covers the Wiz for NBC Sports Washington. That's next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. And speaking of NBC Sports Washington, we're now joined by Chris Miller, who covers the Wizards, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
What's good, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. What's up with your guy, Jay Michael, just bolting right before the Wiz playoff run? What's going on with that?
I'm glad he's gone. Good. He can go cover the Pacers getting swept by LeBron and the Cavs in the first round.
That's right. Well, how are you feeling about – first of all, let's talk about last night.
Yeah.
We were kind of debating back and forth. I thought if Washington had won the game, they needed Houston to lose – or Miami to lose to get the 7 seed. But Drabby, our producer, is telling us that that's not the case, that they could have gotten the 7 seed even with Miami winning and Milwaukee losing. Is that true?
That's correct. So if the Wizards would have won, they would have went to Boston.
So if they would have won the game because Milwaukee lost, they would have been playing the Celtics instead of the Raptors.
That is correct.
How are you feeling about this matchup versus the – I mean, I know we just beat Boston. And we beat them on Christmas Day,
too. I like
too.
How you said we. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, I
like
them to
that,
win.
Jason.
But how are you feeling about this particular matchup? Because, you know, Toronto is the 1 seed, and historically 1 seeds don't lose to the 8 seed. You know, they got about an 8% chance of winning this game.
I'm encouraged.
Are you?
I'm encouraged, and here's why. I'm all about game one. I don't really even care about talking about the series. All I care about is if this team can focus just on Saturday at 5:30. And here's why. Toronto is notorious for giving up the first game of a series. Mm-hmm. I think they've lost 9 or 10 of their first opening game series. Mm-hmm. If Washington goes in there and takes game one, what do you think the storyline will be after that game? Around 8:30 Saturday night. It'll be, oh, I remember that Wizards team. That was the team like 3 years ago that did that same thing to Toronto, and then all hell broke loose in that country, because that fan base can't deal with game one losing and have to sit on that for 3 days before they play again. So psychologically, the Wizards could have an advantage by going in and playing the right way. This isn't a sub-500 team. This is the best team in the Eastern Conference that, with Houston, shares the best home record this season. They only lost 7 times. So think about the psychological advantage Washington could have if they go in there in game one and beat Toronto.
And Chris, I think you have to be encouraged too by the heavy minutes that John Wall has been logging since he's been back. Now, he's been getting days off after logging, you know, 38, 36, 33 minutes in some of these games, but these playoffs are built with long stretches in between games. So I think that works in the Wizards' favor. I think John Wall is going to play 35 plus minutes per game. What do you think you're going to see from Wall starting in game one?
I think he's probably the X factor of the series, because when he's right, and we've seen him since he's come back, guys, play at a really high level. The turnovers are a little bit high, but I think he's trying to get a rhythm with his teammates. But he'll win his matchup with Kyle Lowry. I think that's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think who cancels each other out is Beal and DeRozan. So then what happens? What's the other key? The key to me then is which bench shows up in the series. And Toronto has one of the best benches in the league. And if Washington can counteract that, they win the series. But Wall will be Wall. I mean, that's like the one guy on the team you don't have to worry about that's going to post every game, ready to put up some numbers. So I think he's going to be playing at a really high level. And the fact that, as you said, they're going to get multiple days off in between games. So they play Saturday. Game two is not until Tuesday.
Right.
Chris, why do we think, and I think it's just hometown bias, but why do we think that they're just going to be able to turn it on and then, you know, win as an 8 seed? We did the math. They have an 8% chance just based on seed of advancing. 8 seeds don't beat 1 seeds. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's the motivation, too. I think that's something that Scott Brooks can tell these guys. Listen, nobody's going to give you a chance. But I've seen all year long what they look like when they're right. Mm-hmm. Mentally as a team, they're healthy physically. I still think their best win was at Boston on Christmas Day. And if you go back and look at that, what's the formula for this basketball team to be as good as they can be? All 5 starters scored in double figures. Wall had double-digit assists. Gortat had double-digit rebounds. Mm-hmm. Wall, Beal, and Porter were their 3 best players. And Kelly Oubre scored 16 points off the bench. That, to me, was like the perfect game this season of what this team could do in the playoffs. And if they can get back to that, then I think they beat Toronto. In fact, I'm willing to go on a limb, guys, and say this. If Washington takes game 5, they might get Toronto out of there in five games.
Wow.
Man, you are really optimistic.
And listen. And I put all the pressure on them because of all the talk before the season started about Eastern Conference Finals or bust. Okay, after 82 games, you put yourself in a position to be the eighth seed. Okay, fine. But if you want to be as good as you said you wanted to be, then your road to get there will be harder than anybody else's in the East. You got to beat Toronto, and then potentially in the second round, you got to knock off LeBron.
Right.
That's what happens when you put yourself in that position.
Chris, I see what you're saying, all right? I get it. But when you play Toronto, all right, Toronto doesn't have this history of, you know, this legacy of doing special things in the playoffs. I get it. But you got to be on top of your game for minimum four games, probably six or seven. You think five. I think more than that. But they've lost 11 of 16. This team has lost to 11 of 16. And they've lost to, like Cake says, Tankapalooza teams. Teams that just – Orlando didn't give a rat's ass about that game last night. So how do they focus on this? How can they just flip the switch for a longer series when they couldn't do it against the worst teams in the league?
Because they feel like they could do it. That's the funniest thing about this Wizards team all year long.
So it's just moxie?
It drives fans crazy. It's just – they even admit it. For some reason, they just really are disinterested against some 500 teams. But – look how they play against playoff teams. I mean, it's like the most Jekyll and Hyde thing I've seen covering the league for 20 years. This team, to me, this year is different than really any other ones because of just, I would say probably 19 games this year they lost against teams they should have beat.
Right.
About 19.
Yeah.
But then you look at, and again, John missed half of the year, and they're still in the playoffs. It's the craziest thing to me, and that's why I feel like it's all about game one. If they can go in there and do what they're supposed to do, the psychological advantage goes right back to them, and then all of a sudden, on Monday, you guys are going to be talking about, did you see how the Wizards whooped Toronto? Are the Raptors in trouble? That's how important game one is, and that's why I'm kind of singularly focusing on just that moment. If 2 hours, they can be that focused on Saturday and take a game away from the number one seed, all the pressure goes on Toronto again.
I agree.
Chris has got me believing, man. He's talking me into the Wizards winning in five.
No way.
He's got me out of the limb with him.
So you think that Scotty Brooks really wanted them to play well in these games down the stretch, you know, for matchup purposes and just to kind of get the mojo back, but the guys just didn't care. And they just know when to turn it on in the postseason. That's what you're saying.
That's what they say. That's what they believe. I think they believe that they can just turn it on. So we'll see. Again, I think this is driving Scott Brooks crazy because any coach would want their guys to have some kind of momentum going into the playoffs. And I think that's what the Boston game was, right? The last home game, you know, they played well against Boston and won. And then they go down to Orlando, and they just seemed a little bit disinterested. And the fact that Devin Robinson actually got into the game with like 8:38 remaining in the third quarter to play was kind of interesting to me because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He hasn't played all year long. Why is he in the game now? So that was curious to me. But I still think now that they're in the situation that they put themselves in. Again, guys, they did this to themselves to put them in a position to play the number one seed in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go out there and take advantage of it? It's a great opportunity. Like, I'm not down on this team, and I know fans, I get it. This Wizards team would drive you crazy all year long watching some of the games that they lost. But just imagine what happens Saturday night at 8:30 if at the end of the game you go, man, the Wizards beat the Raptors. Just picture that.
Well,
that should be the goal.
Chris, I don't think they're going to get swept. I mean, I think they'll win one of those two games up there, but winning 4 out of 7 is a totally different monster. All right, just real quick, before we let you go, let's switch it to some of the other series. Do you feel like there's going to be an upset in any of the other matchups based on seeding?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
So,
Wizards, the 8 seed are going to pull.
You got Washington beat. And how many times has
the 8 seed beat? You said besides that. We were talking the other playoff.
No, I get it.
I know.
What about Philly, man? Philly is just unbelievable right now.
Yeah, shout out to Markelle Fultz, by the way. Wendemather.
Yep.
Getting it done on a triple-double. Happy for the kid. Philly is doing some really remarkable stuff with people that have never really been in this position, but it's playoff time now. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to see, you know, if Simmons can do what he did in the regular season. When Embiid comes back, can they still do this? You guys have to remember, I think this is right. I think this is the first time in NBA history a team has won 16 straight games to end the regular season to start the playoff. Mm-hmm. That's pretty remarkable.
Right.
So, I mean, Philly's a dangerous team, but I just don't know psychologically, again, what would happen if they lose game one. You know what I mean? Because everything changes then with them. I that's just my opinion. But I think the Cavs, I think they walk through Indiana. That might be five games. I think Boston wins. Out west, I think it's chalk.
Yeah. I think the Oklahoma-Utah series can be great.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you think there's going to be some upsets?
Not really.
There
always are, but I'd probably pick chalk as well. I'd probably be off on a couple of them. But with Philly in particular, they might be just too young and green to realize what playoff pressure is right now. That's why I think.
Okay, let me ask you guys one more question. I do this for a living too. Mm-hmm. Did I convince you guys at all about this Wizard series?
You kind of convinced me. I'm easily convincible. You're kind of getting me over to your side.
I don't know. I'm just going with history.
I think, we're going with history, but you are right when you say the guys just probably don't care about the games that they should win and they want to turn it on. You're probably right about that, but the question is, can they do it over a long series? I mean, they could do it one out of, you know, if they're playing Cleveland once a month or if they're playing Toronto once a month, but can you do it 4 out of 7?
We'll find out, but, they've blown off the whole regular season, basically. They've blown off the whole regular season for this. I think they've arrived when they haven't.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to pay the price right now.
Chris,
it'll be interesting.
You converted one of the three of us, my friend.
Hey, man, I'll take it. It's 33%.
There you go.
It's not bad.
You need to go.
All right, maybe we'll talk next week, all
Chris,
right?
Chris, thanks as always for the time. You can follow him on Twitter at CMillsNBCS. And, of course, watch him on NBC Sports Washington.
You know what I mean? You can get pumped up for a good team because they've beaten good teams. They've beaten Golden State. They've beaten Cleveland. They've beaten Toronto. They've beaten Boston.
But they don't do anything consistently.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be consistent when you're playing them in a long series.
Right.
When we come back, I'm going to tell Jason about a bettor that he wishes he was that stumbled into a five-figure payday. I'm going to tell you how he did it next here on The Fan.
All right, a couple little nuggets here. So Patrick Reed won the Masters, right? He's doing the whole tour. He's in New York City. I'm sure he did all the talk shows. You know, he's cashing in now, right? Did you realize, Jason, that he won without an equipment sponsor? So his deal with Callaway had expired, right?
Yep.
And what's great is he's doing what all of us do, right? He's taking a risk now because he's not taking any money, but he's picking and choosing, and it makes all the sense in the world. He goes, it's crazy to think that one company can make 14 perfect clubs.
Right.
Right? So
he's always been a notorious tinkerer, too, with equipment.
Yeah. So that's what he's
known for.
Well, so what he's got in his bag, he's got a Ping driver.
Yeah, the G400.
He's got Titleist and Callaway irons. He's got an Artisan golf wedges, Odyssey putter, and then, he, of course, he uses a Titleist Pro V1 golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the Costco version.
Now, we don't fine-tune it to that extent, and a lot of times we do it just because we're donks, and we just buy random things. But I like that approach, actually. I think more guys should do that.
But if someone comes to him with an endorsement deal and a sponsorship, why wouldn't he switch up to make some more cash?
It sounded like he ended his deal with Callaway.
Yeah, I don't think he was happy with
that. Maybe he feels like if he plays with the clubs that he likes, he'll make more cash in the long run by winning more tournaments.
I'm sure that's what he thinks.
Well, he obviously had a great week at the Masters.
It's working so far.
But you got to remember, he's not ranked that high on tour in driving accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
He just got hot for a four-day stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was ranked 194th Valdez in driving accuracy before the tournament started, and he was probably in the top I don't know, maybe he was in the top 15, top 10 in the field in driving accuracy. He got hot with that club for that week.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's going to translate down the road, but he just got really
hot.
Oh,
he's a good player.
No, he's very good.
I think he's going to be fine.
I'm just saying the stats matter.
Yeah, I agree.
Stats do matter. That's why no one picked him. He was a 50-to-1 shot, maybe even higher than that.
Yeah, but it was kind of silly, though, because I think he had had some top 10s coming in. He was kind of hot coming in.
Sure.
I'm going to look at his driving accuracy, though, for 2017. Let's get a larger sample size.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see.
But, yeah, that he's always been a tinkerer with the equipment. He's a different dude.
Yeah, I like it, though. I like the approach a lot. It makes a lot of sense to me.
So do you like him now more as a player?
No, but that just makes sense to me.
I mean, will you find yourself...
No, I don't find him that engaging or anything or endearing.
You won't find yourself rooting for him?
Maybe
now.
I will. You know, I don't like the fact that he doesn't get along with his parents. For some reason, that really bothers me. I was just raised in a different way. Like, family. I don't believe in family feuds.
All right, but there might be a reason he's acting like that.
Obviously, there's a beef. There's a reason. But I don't believe in family beef and feuds like that.
Right.
I've been lucky I haven't had to endure that.
Yeah, exactly. We don't even know where. Yeah.
But I go out of my way to avoid family. I mean, I could find a reason to hate certain, you know, I could get worked up if I wanted to.
Yeah,
but I let it go.
But you always had a great relationship with your parents.
Yeah, but extended family. I could come up with some reasons if I wanted, but I don't. Yeah. Choose not to.
Last
year he was 138th in driving accuracy.
What is he this year currently after the Masters? Do you have this year's? Hold on, I don't know.
It's hard to find.
I got him right here. Driving accuracy, he's 193 on tour. He's hitting 53% of his fairways.
Sounds like that ping driver's kind of nubs.
Doesn't Augusta favors draws off the tee, doesn't it, for righties?
Yep. He's a big draw ball guy. By the way,
the
RBC Heritage this week, where they've already teed off down there in Hilton Head.
Yep.
Shortest course on tour.
Ooh.
Just over 7,000 yards.
It's the kind of course that I like.
did you
nice
get your golfers
short.
In?
Of course I got my golfers in.
I know you took Luke
I don't
Donald.
Sleep. I'm toward the bottom of the standings, but I always get my golfers in.
Yeah. Everyone take Luke Donald.
Everybody took him.
So here's another nugget.
But this
real
is the
quick.
Other thing, and this is why Reed's playing so well. He's 17th on tour in birdie average. Mm-hmm. So even though he's not great off the tee, he's still finding a way to get threes and fours.
Right. He's just a gamer. He's one of those guys, like they've always said, his driver doesn't impress you, his swing doesn't impress you, but he's just gritty, he doesn't quit, he's prepared. You know, he's got the makeup of a champion. I think that can overwhelm some of those things.
I can't disagree with you.
All right, so here's another, just a side note. I don't even know who this chick is, but I've heard her name, okay? I'm not a Disney person, I don't know all these Disney people, but Bella Thorne apparently got famous through Disney.
Hot.
Don't know who she is. I've heard of her.
She was on a show, God, what was the name of her show? My kids used to watch it every single day. Go ahead.
Zach and Cody? Or is it
I think she had it. Well, she might have been on that, but let me find
out. Not sure.
Let me find
out. So she got famous apparently via Disney. She's got 17 million.
Hot redhead.
Hot. 17 million Instagram followers, okay?
She's only 20 years old.
Please explain to this.
Young.
Please explain this to me so I can figure out how it works because I don't understand. She's got 17 million Instagram followers. She's. Says she makes $65,000 per post.
What?
On Instagram.
I better get back on the gram.
And she makes $10,000 to $20,000 for just an Instagram story or Snapchat post.
Man, she's monetizing that thing. Good for her.
Who? What? How's that working? Do they have ads?
Got to be an ad.
So there are ads that are running on Instagram. Is that what it is? I don't get.
She's promoting something.
Yeah, she's promoting something. She'll like wear. A shirt from Macy's or whatever.
Why can't her entire
Instagram account is just her modeling clothes?
I'll get on the gram for like 65K.
Or whatever it is. That's how all those Instagram models make money. Whether it's protein powder or a necklace or anything like that.
I'm going to look
spandex.
Her up right now. See, I didn't think there was like ads.
Jason, you got ads.
By the way, Shake It Up was the name of the show she was on.
Shake It Up! Yeah. Here's how you should make your money, Jason. By stumbling into a $52,000 gambling win because this donk bet on the wrong team on his 5-game parlay.
So he meant to bet the other side?
He wanted to bet Barcelona over Roma. Yeah. That was the last game on the parlay. Instead, he picked Roma by accident. Couldn't switch the pick in time. Roma beats Barcelona. Twitter went crazy. He won 52K.
He's
a big old donk. Just made 52K.
He gets so hooked.
So hooked.
And what happens with me? I put an extra zero on my bet. The Yankees go up 5-0 and lose 8-7.
Yeah, these things happen. This is the way the world works sometimes. All right, it is a Thursday, and another Thursday tradition is Bruce the Hugger calling.
Oh, these guys
I believe he's on the line.
I wondered what they were waving at.
Bruce!
Good morning, Junkies.
Good morning, Bruce.
I got nothing to make.
Go What's ahead, up, buddy?
I'm not scared. I'm Lurch's Bubby Bristers.
You're not scared of Lurch's Bubby Bristers.
Yeah,
right.
Stupid.
Hey, thank you, Bruce.
The last thing you want on your body is a bunch of Bubby Blisters.
So funny.
Getting back to the earlier dog from Purdue who apparently...
Ikaz.
Yeah. Who all I right. know that when he came to Maryland, that the Maryland students were calling
you
him
ugly. Are ugly.
You are ugly. Right. You are ugly champ definitely went in his direction.
Right. Who was the kid from Iowa they just...
Robbie Hummel?
Was it Robbie Hummel?
I can't remember, but there was an ugly white dude
No,
Robbie
Iowa. Hummel played at Purdue, didn't he? I'm talking about the kid from Iowa.
Oh, from Iowa?
I know who you're talking about. He had a bad haircut. He was just gangly.
And just good player, though. Good
awkward
player.
Awkward looking.
Yeah, they would kill him.
Yeah, I thought they trashed Robbie when he was there.
They probably did, too, but there was a...
Pedro would know.
There was a specific kid
listening.
From Iowa.
Pedro
what's
know.
Haas doing now? Like,
he graduated.
So
he's going
to
go.
He's going to try to play somewhere.
He's going to the pharmacy a lot.
It's hard to put Valtrex on when you got a broken arm.
Yeah. Was it?
That's true.
Jared
he had the broken elbow.
Uthoff.
Yes.
That's the kid. Yeah. Man, I remember my son told me that the student section was just merciless.
They would kill him.
Calling him ugly at every turn. Meanwhile, he's a hoopster boy playing for a Big Ten team.
Yeah, I know. He's a good player, but just not a looker.
Yeah, just not a looker. What are you going to do?
If you're ugly and you come into College Park, yeah, you're going to hear it.
Yeah. You're definitely going to hear it.
Not everybody
from the
can
fans.
Be an 8, Case.
Not everybody can be silly.
Not everybody
That's
can be
lesson
silly.
That's the you take away on an open line Thursday.
RBC Heritage
Grant
today, first
and
round.
Coming up next, right here on 106.7.
Come on, Russell Knox.
The Fan. Boom.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.